God, we thank you this morning for the, I think what we would call rain, but more like moisture. That freshness as I was driving down the hill, coming here, that water and how essential it is for our existence. God, I ask that you would cleanse us now, so to speak. Renew us now, Holy Spirit. Give us life. Comfort us. Empower us. Remind us or tell us for the first time who we truly are. That we're not a mess up. That we're valuable. That we're not ugly. That we're beautiful. Wonderfully made. That we're gifted. And so we take this time to be with you, to encounter you, to discover you, to learn more about you, to grow in a deeper relationship with you, to fall more in love with you. And we give this time to be with you now. In your name, we all said?
Amen.
Amen. All right, you may be seated. How are we?
Great.
Come on now.
Okay,
there's a cafe out in the hallway. They have coffee. It is good. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and he's one of those guys where it's like, how many little syllables do you have at the end of your name kind of thing? It's like, wow, there's a lot of, what do all those stand for? He's just a smart guy. He loves learning, obviously, with all those little syllables at the end of his name, or little letters at the end of his name. And I was talking to him, and it reminded me that he is coming at the end of June, actually the second Wednesday at the end of the month. I think it's the 21st of June. He's coming for a men's four-week study. So men, gentlemen, just keep that in the back of your head. That's all the information I've got for you. But there's going to be, he's going to come and teach, and it's going to be really cool. And that's all I got. So if you were interested, Wednesday, the 21st of June, just thought about it. Just came to my mind. But another thing. Yesterday, I turned 32. How about that, huh? Yeah. And I woke up yesterday morning, I thought, man, I feel so awesome. Not old. Awesome. And it was so cool as I woke up, and I'm like, man, my life is good. Life is really good. And I just had a really incredible day as I was hanging out with family and also here teaching. It was just really cool being with family and extended family, and it was just a really nice day yesterday, and I thought that it was kind of timely because today, of all days, across the globe, when it comes to the church, at least for some churches, not all churches, but some churches, we come together on this day to celebrate the church's birthday. And if you're wondering, like, wait, what? Church has a birthday? Yeah, kind of. And that's what we're going to look at here this morning. If you could just imagine yourself 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem, and you're wearing sandals, it's dusty, the wind is blowing, and there's lots of people walking around because it's 50 days after Passover, which means that there's another festival happening. It's the festival called Pentecost. And Pentecost is a time where there's twofold. It's Pentecost, one, is a time for where farmers, people who are in agriculture, would come and offer their first fruits, their first crop. They would offer it to God and of saying thanks, and also a prayer of saying, would you bless this next harvest? Bless this here. And so you have a lot of farmers. If you can imagine, you're walking around, there's a lot of farmers, a lot of people coming together, there's all kinds of crops, and they're offering it over to God as an act of worship. But also, Pentecost was a time of remembrance. That if you can go back to Exodus, just like Passover. Passover was a time where Moses, God led Moses, the people out of enslavement into freedom, right? They passed through the Red Sea, and they went out into the desert, and they became no longer enslaved people, but now freed people, that God had passed over his judgment and rescued them, right? And so they remember those moments in Passover. But something happened 50 days later with Moses and the Israelites. As Moses was up on top of Mount Sinai, and he was encountering the very presence of God through fire and wind, and things were moving around, and God gave him the gift of the law. Now, some of us may be wondering, how is law a gift? Law tells us how we can live. There is only freedom within form, right? If you look at drumming and you're like, man, how do they drum like that? It seems like they have so much freedom. It's because they learned the form of how drumming works. And so God is saying, here are the directives, here are the boundaries, here is how you can thrive as a new people group, no longer enslaved, but now freed. Now here's the gift of the law. Now go and live and thrive. That was 50 days later as Moses came down from the Mount Sinai to give the law to the people. And so here we are in the dirty streets of Jerusalem some 2,000 years ago, and it's Pentecost. And something happened 50 days prior. Something very powerful happened, and that this guy named Jesus died on Passover, and then 3 days later rose from the dead. And people saw him and encountered him. And the result of what Jesus did in Passover was that he freed us from the enslavement of sin and gave us new life, right? Now, 50 days later at Pentecost, something new is about to begin as he gives us the gift, not of the law, but of the Holy Spirit. Do you see that happening here? It's a powerful movement, and what we're going to do is we're going to look at that happening in Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Check this out. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place, kind of like this, coming together in one place. And if you're like, well, I'm not a believer, that's okay. You're welcome here. You will be, trust me. This is going to happen. So we're all together here in one place. We're all sitting here united together, different people, different stuff, different clothing, all coming together in one place. And we are here waiting, expectant, because it's Pentecost and something new is about to happen. Verse 2, suddenly, which is really important. Suddenly means that you weren't necessarily expecting it to happen. It wasn't calculated that all of the sudden something happened. All of the sudden you tripped over that sidewalk. All of the sudden, you walked into a parked car. All of the sudden, something happened and it came out of nowhere. It just kind of hit you, right? Suddenly, the Spirit of God shows up. And that's how the Spirit of God always works. Suddenly, he is not a formula. He is not something that we can coerce. We try to relive things that have happened in the past. You can try to do that all you want, but he is going to suddenly show up because that's how he does things, because he's in control. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. What you have here is some key imagery that Luke is, the one who's writing Acts, is beginning to show of what's happening to these disciples in this upper room as they suddenly encounter the presence of God. For one, you have imagery of the Exodus story, as fire and wind were a part of it. And so they could see that and hear that. And people, when they hear the story and they see the story and they're listening to what Luke is presenting, they would understand that. They'd also understand that the Holy Spirit comes suddenly. And how does he come suddenly? Sometimes he comes in forcefully like that. Sometimes we are so impacted by him that it's like, whoa, and people sometimes fall over, or people sometimes are moved, where it's just like, oh my goodness, what was that? It was the Spirit of God moving. But other times, he moves subtly, quietly, transforming our lives from the inside out. This is not how he always works. This is how he sometimes works. But the key here is what wind and fire can do. They are untamable forces, so to speak, that they move, right? Like a spark in brush. You take a little spark, and what does it do? It lights on fire, and where does it go? It moves out and scatters. That what Luke is saying here is that this is the start of something new, and the Spirit of God is rushing in and moving them forward to go and scatter out to the ends of the earth like wind and a sail. I remember when I was 16, I was invited with my dad and a couple other people to sail from Newport to Ensenada. It's a race. I have no idea how to sail. I still don't really know how to sail. And so all I did was just kind of sit on the edge of the sailboat. And there's this like large sail that I do remember this. There's this thing called a spinnaker. And apparently we weren't doing that great because the spinnaker kept wrapping. And when that happens, the boat goes like at 90 degrees. I got so comfortable with it that I would just wrap my leg around the pole. And then as it was 90 degrees, I'd be upside down looking at the ocean like, oh, this is so cool. I remember at the very beginning at the race, getting the start of the race is like kind of stressful because we're trying to, you know, jockey our position to where we can get that right wind and then we can take off and get a good head start, right? And so we're looking for that gust of wind to hit that spinnaker, to hit that sail so that we could just take off. And that kind of imagery as that gust of wind is pushing you forward, that is what is happening here in the upper room where you have a group of disciples who have been running for their lives because they have been following someone who now is dead. And now they're going to be dead. But then he rises again, and then he fills them with the presence of God. And as a result of that, they no longer are afraid people, but people who are willing to risk it for everything because they're empowered by the Spirit of God, and he has moved them out to share and show the love, the radical love of God. You see that? That's what's happening here in this room. Frightened people become passionate people who love others as the Spirit of God suddenly shows up. This is the start of a new movement. This is the start of the church. And what is the church? Is it the upper room? No. Is it this building? No. We are the church. All of us together, collectively, coming together, we are the church. It means assembly of people, not a building, not a structure. We are. And here in Acts 2, we see the beginning of it happen. Verse 4, here's what happens as the Spirit of God falls on them. It says, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. Just imagine you're in Spain, or you're in the Middle East, and all of a sudden someone starts speaking English, and you're like, whoa. But they start speaking English to where you can really understand it, like your English slang language, right? They start speaking, and you're like, wow, dude, you're speaking my language. What's that all about, right? So it's like all of a sudden they start hearing their language being spoken in a foreign land as they're there visiting because they're celebrating Pentecost, and they come into this room, and here's what happens. Verse 7, they were completely amazed. How can this be, they exclaimed. These people are all from Galilee, which is just a little small town, hick town in the middle of by a lake. How is this possible? Verse 8, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. Here we hear Parthians and Medes and Elamites and people from Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus, the province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the areas of Libya and Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. That's a lot. And all we hear, we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about what? The wonderful things God has done. They all are hearing the message. They're all hearing the gospel. They're all able to comprehend and understand. Different people from different locations are now able to hear that they too are invited into this family. Verse 12, they stood there amazed and perplexed. What can this mean? They asked each other. And what Luke does here is he paints a beautiful picture of the Spirit of God as he falls upon, he draws people from all over and brings them together in one place. That language is no longer a barrier anymore. Language is no longer going to hold you back from encountering the gospel. Language is no longer going to separate you. There's no longer going to be a dividing line. If you don't know how to speak this, then you're out. No, everyone is in. You're included. You're included. Come in. If you want it, it's yours. And what's beautiful, what's happening here is another great movement that was like this was the opposite, right? In Genesis 11. You know about Genesis 11 with Babel? And what happens with Babel is they're trying to be their own gods, as they're trying to build up to the heavens, as they wanted to be their own people and separate from Yahweh, and they decide, oh, we're going to do this. And what does God do? He scatters them and changes their language so that they cannot understand each other. And what you see here, what Luke is saying here, is that this is a turning point, because now Babel has been reversed, where they're no longer scattered, but now they're coming together, and now they can understand each other and know and hear that they're a part of, unified together, different, but unified because of Jesus. Uniformity is not a prerequisite for unity. Different people coming together. Why? Because they love Jesus. Different languages, different tongues. What happened in the upper room was a complete change to what once was and what now is. It is the birth of a new kind of movement. It is the birth, the start of the church. All centered around people receiving the Holy Spirit in their life. And the same goes for us some 2,000 years ago. That what happened to them can happen to us. That we can have our own Pentecost moments, personally, individually, and corporately as well. That where we're reminded once again that we are renewed, regenerated people, that the Spirit of God breathes life into us and sets us apart to say, hey, I want you to join me on mission in what I am doing. That we've had moments, many of us here, where we felt the presence of God and it has pushed us to step out and to love someone or groups of people or whomever it may be. Again and again, the Spirit of God is moving. And what I want to look at here is I want to show just two things. Two things out of Pentecost that I see happening that are really important for us today. One is that group of people went from knowing about the Holy Spirit to experiencing the Holy Spirit. Went from knowing to experiencing. And knowing and experiencing, when you take knowing and experiencing and you put those two together, the result of that is a deeper understanding and relationship and intimacy than you had before. When our knowledge of God and our experience of God meet, our eyes are open to a deeper reality of what life with Christ looks like. And it continues to deepen and deepen and deepen. And we've experienced this in our own life, knowing and experiencing. For your work, whatever you're doing for a job, whatever you've done for a job, that whether you're a doctor, a nurse, or you worked at a hardware store, or you worked wherever, it doesn't matter. Any place, anywhere, there is a time where you are learning. You're discovering about how this works, and teachers and people or bosses or managers or directors or whatever it may be are telling you, this is how you do the work. It goes like this, and you're like, okay, 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 and you're learning and you're learning and you're learning, like, yes, and then you graduate or they give you a piece of paper or whatever happens to where you transition into experiencing the work. And then as you begin to experience the work and apply the knowledge that you gained, you realize that some of that knowledge was just bogus. But a lot of it was really good. As you transferred over that knowledge, you're like, oh my goodness, that this is what it's like. This is what it's like. And it continues to deepen and deepen and deepen. When it comes to our relationship with God, we can spend time learning and learning and learning and learning. And it's good. It's really good. And sometimes what we're learning and what we think we're learning, maybe not be right or wrong, whatever. But when we take what we know and we begin to step out and be empowered by the Spirit of God, and then begin to do things like love Him and love people and serve somewhere or do something or be a part of the community and begin to step up and step out and just try something and see what happens, we begin to see, oh my goodness, this is what it's like. Wow. Becomes so much far greater. As a result of knowing plus experiencing, we gain a deeper understanding, a deeper relationship with God. As we experience the Holy Spirit's movement in our life, as we begin to see His movement in other people's lives because of how we are living our life. It's fantastic. It's beautiful. And I know that many of us here, as I'm looking at you, many of us here, you know what I'm talking about because you're doing it. Keep doing it. Don't give up. Don't get jaded if you've been doing this for a long time. The Spirit of God, may he fall fresh on you today. May you experience a freshness of him today. May he inspire you and give you vision if you feel like you're dull and worn out. And if you've never experienced him before, may you experience him in obviously a brand new way. And may he inspire you in such a way that propels you to know more about him and to experience him more and to take both of that together and let that become something beautiful that is birthed out of a thing called a relationship as we begin to both know and experience, know and experience. But what we see here is not just people knowing and experiencing individually. We see here people knowing and experiencing the presence of God communally, together, united together, as people who have difference in opinions. Because let's all be honest, you and I, we don't agree about a lot of things if we were to sit down and talk and be honest. But we're here together, why? Because we love Jesus. Or because someone invited us, we don't know why we're really here. Well, that's because Jesus loves you. And he's inviting you to love him too. But while all that being said, we come together because we love Jesus. That's why we are here, to worship together, to praise him, because we love him. And the result of that unity is something beautiful. And we see the result of that unity happening in Acts chapter 2 and the later part of the chapter in verse 44. Here's what happens. As they encounter the freshness of the Holy Spirit, and as the Holy Spirit begins to propel them out, as they begin to move and encounter the reality and the love of God, it results in them wanting to love each other. And here's how they do it. Verse 44 says, "And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared their money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved." I look at that and I go, man, I want to be a part of something like that. And then I realized, I am. And it's happening right here. And it continues to happen. And continues to happen. That the Spirit of God is here and he's moving and he's drawing us together and we are sharing and we are meeting together and we are worshiping together and many of us are eating together and drinking together and having a good time and relaxing and enjoying each other's company and worshiping God. I mean, we're all together. And isn't that just beautiful? I love it. And the result of our love and treatment for one another as a result of how we love and care for each other. Other people see that and are attracted to it. Why? Because they have been created to be a part of a community like this too. A place where shame and condemnation gone. A place where we begin to look at each other as people, not labels. A place where we recognize that we're just as broken and in need of a Savior as the other person. A place where all of us are coming together because we love Jesus and what Jesus has done in our lives. We're coming together and sharing that, eating bread or pizza or whatever, and just having a good time and enjoying each other's time and hanging out. I mean, that's what church is. That's what it's all about, is loving and supporting each other. And when we love and support each other, when we build each other up, not break each other down, but when we build each other up, people see that and they go, man, I want to be a part of that. Of course you do. Of course you do. But on the flip side of things too, it's so easy to see how divisive we can be when it comes to being a part of a family, right? It's easy. It's really easy to come in and start pointing fingers and looking at people and going like, you suck. I don't like you. And I just judged you in the matter of 30 seconds and you on the scale of 1 to 10 are a negative 2. You know, it's like our thoughts are in our mind saying that stuff. And I'll be honest, I do it too. It's like, oh my goodness, where is that coming from? Why is that there? Get, wow, we all are coming together, and we're very messy, and it's very jumbled and stuff in there. But all of this, as we come together and we begin to encourage each other, guess what happens to those thoughts? It begins to go away. When we begin to learn about each other's stories, we go, oh, part of us goes, well, that makes sense. But the other part goes, oh my goodness, I love you. I love you for who you are. And I want to love you and empower you so that you can become all that God has created you to be. Yes! Yes! Do you see that? Do you see that? That comes from us not just knowing God and being in relationship with Him, but it comes from us knowing each other and getting to know our names and where we're coming from. And as we do that, the Spirit of God is there, and He's moving us in a way as He's unifying our differences, as He's bringing us together under one solid foundation, Jesus. Him. And Him alone, as He is the solid foundation, He begins to build His church. Us people begins to build us up, and we begin to become empowered as the Spirit of God moves through this community and as we go out into our workplaces, into our neighborhoods, into our families, to wherever it may be. And the Spirit of God begins to work and draw other people into this loving community where we build each other up and recognize each other for who we really are, human beings made in the image of God. And yeah, we've got faults, but we've been redeemed. It's been wiped clean because of what Jesus has done. And now we are Spirit-empowered people, gifted to go out and to love others as the Spirit of God loves us. That is the church, as we come together and serve each other, love each other, build each other up. John says this, it says, your love for one another will prove to the world that you're my disciples. Your love for one another, our love for each other, our love. Sit with that. We want to make God known, right? We want people to experience the reality of God, right? We want people to encounter what we've encountered, right? And they do when we love each other. When we love each other, when we care and sit with each other, when we mourn with each other, when we build each other up, when we stay committed no matter what happens, in the thick and the thin, in the mountaintops and the valleys, we're committed. Because that's what love does. It says, I choose to be with you in thick and thin. As we encounter the love of God, may we love others too. And as a result of that, as the result of the Spirit of God's movement in our lives, may other people come to know who God is and the reality of His love because they know you and me, because they know this community. Amen? Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for your movement in our lives. I thank you for the birth of this new movement. And it's not really new anymore, but it's still new for many of us. That you're continuing to do new things. And so, Holy Spirit, I ask that your movement would fall on us, that we would experience you and encounter you, that you would inform our knowing so that we can understand more and experience more and fall more in love with you. For those who are dry, may you fill us up. For those who are weary, may you give us strength. For those who are self-deprecating, may you speak life into us this morning. Spirit of God, break through our calloused hearts, our hardened hearts. Soften our hearts and begin to give us a heart to see people for who they really are. People who you love, who you have created. Empower us to love as you have loved us. Thank you, Jesus. In your name, amen. In this next moment, we're going to worship God in a few different ways. We're going to worship God kind of like how the farmers worshiped them in Pentecost as they gave back. We're going to give back finances in this way, and the ushers are going to come forward, and they're going to pass along offering. It's a time for those of us who desire to thank God and the gladness of our heart to give back to Him and saying thank you, and also to continue to bless us in that way. And also, we're going to worship God through remembering. So we have communion here. The elements will be passed along. Please feel free to take time on your own leisure to receive the elements as we remember what Jesus has done for us. And then also we're going to worship God through singing. So let's take this time as a community of people, as the church, to worship God. God bless you guys.